Congregation will now turn our attention to the Heidelberg Catechism, Wednesday 49. Wednesday 49 is focused on the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, the most famous prayer, perhaps most of the, all Christians know. This section, or this petition, focuses on your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what does that mean? What do we mean when we pray that, and how are we to apply it to our lives as Christians? So please respond to question and answer 124. What is the third petition? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men renounce our own will, and without disputing, obey your will, which alone is good, so that everyone may fulfill his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do. Congregation, we pray, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What we're saying is, not only is your will, Father, the only good will, but our will isn't. The Catechism makes a point of saying that our will needs to be renounced. The will is the affections of the heart. It's the why behind behind all of our actions and words and thoughts. It's what you desire the most. You never do something or say anything that you don't want to do. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This prayer is meant to align our will with God's will. And it's meant to expose us when we don't follow God's will and desire for us to live according to His commands. God wants us to love Him, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Right? That's a summary of God's commandments or God's will for us. As Christians, we're called to love God, to love as Jesus has loved us, to be holy as He is holy, to walk as Jesus walked, following His commands. The Catechism goes on to say that we in our sin dispute God's will. We argue, we make our case that His will isn't really that sufficient or isn't good, that ours is better. Job disputed God in his anger and frustration. He wanted to put God on trial, but eventually he was humbled. This prayer calls us to humble ourselves, to take an honest look at ourselves. Is what we desire God's will? Is what all we do according to His good will? And that humility, that's a battle. That is the battle that we face in our lives as Christians. The Bible teaches us that we are at war with our fleshly lusts or sinful desires. We're not neutral. If we don't find ourselves renouncing our will or killing our sin is killing us, as a theologian once said. There's no neutral ground. And as we're praying, your will be done, what we should also be praying is for God to help us to conform our will to align itself with His. We're praying to God, in essence, I see my lusts of the flesh, these desires, these things that don't honor you, that I find in my heart. Teach me your way. Teach me that your way is better than my way. Galatians 5, Paul says that our lust of the flesh works contrary to that of the Spirit. We're called to walk in the Spirit, to walk in line and in tune with the Spirit. What is the Spirit? What is the Spirit guiding us? How is the Spirit guiding us? Well, it's through the Word of God. There's no separation. or there's the Holy Spirit dwelling, there's the Scripture dwelling. No, the Scripture, the Holy Spirit aligns us to what God has said in His Word. And the lust of the flesh includes, Paul says, idolatry, hatred, adultery, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition and envy. These desires are found in our hearts more than you would like to think they are. Paul also describes to us what it means to walk in the Spirit. He calls it the fruits of the Spirit. What the Spirit produces in our hearts. It's like the Holy Spirit is like the chisel. He is chiseling our character to shape it and form it to the image of Christ. And the fruits of the Spirit are these. Instead of selfish ambition, we want to find love in our character. Instead of envy, we want joy. Instead of outbursts of rage or wrath, we want peace. We want to be long-suffering. We desire kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those things, you want it to define who we are as Christians. But where do we look to find all of these fruits? It's in Christ. This list defines both what Christ has done for us in order to save us, and also it defines who He is to us today. Even as He sits at the right hand of the Father, He still demonstrates His long-suffering, His kindness, His goodness, and His faithfulness to you. Do battle in your prayer closet, brothers and sisters. Pray, Father, I want Your will to be done on earth, starting with mine, starting with my will, acknowledging that we desire, that we want to see the desires of our heart to align itself with God's heart. I ask Your Father to help You to renounce Your will. I ask Him to help You to dispute Your will. Not the other way around. Ask Your Father to help You to look more like Christ. But know that because You are loved, that's why You're called to be loving. Because You have been shown kindness in the gospel, You are called to show kindness. Because He is long-suffering towards you, that's why You are called to be long-suffering towards others. This is a prayer that's going to preoccupy you for the rest of your life. But even though this prayer involves a battle, there is something amazing that happens, right? As you continue and progress and mature in your Christian faith, this simple prayer, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, starting with mine, that prayer, as you progress, what you're going to see is more of your sin. What you're going to see is grace increase as well. The increase of your sin and the greater increase of His mercy towards you in the gospel. As the hymn says, our sins, they are many, but His mercy is more. Amen.